Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Talking some Penn State football with an emphasis on recruiting in this hour. Looking first and foremost on the 2019 class. Not quite complete yet. They're going to get to the finish line next week for National Signing Day. But we're going to look, given all the number needs that it looks like Penn State has in 2019, look at this class and see who might be able to contribute immediately. And the positions where they need somebody to do that. The conversation takes on a little different tone now that they've got guys on the transfer market. We're going to do a little round of buy or sell. It's going to have a little recruiting twist to it, looking at 2019, 2020 as well. Adam Friedman from Rivals will join us a little bit later in the show to talk a little bit of recruiting in 2019 and beyond. And we'll round out the show with Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting question. So we got a good show coming. I did want to start, you know, as we make our way and try to interpret what's going on in the transfer market. Lamont Wade is coming back. That changes the dynamic of the safety position a little bit. Let's look at these positions on Penn State's roster, and let's look at the guys in the class who have the physical ability to play sooner than later, and let's figure out which of these guys is going to end up burning their red shirts.
Let's do it.
So I think the conversation you have to have, Brandon Smith starting first and foremost, not only having enrolled in January, but standing at 6'4", 230 pounds, looking and playing like an actual linebacker. I keep coming back to this conversation where he's kind of a freak of nature. He is going to play right away because he has to. Right. I don't think you have much of a choice with a guy like this anyway. But the linebacker position doesn't really have the same feel now as it did last year or the year before. Now suddenly they've got depth, and you're not looking at a guy like this to come in and play 60 reps a game necessarily. You're probably going to give him, let's just say, the Micah Parsons treatment, where maybe he's your top reserve instead. Maybe he's a guy who's coming off the bench as your fourth or fifth linebacker. But either way, we're going to see Brandon Smith
this year. Yeah, and what does Lance Dixon's factor into that mean too? You know, it's interesting because I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and they had asked, it was someone that's a fan of a team besides Penn State, and they had said, what does that linebacker picture look like up there? Because it didn't look so good last season, did it? And, you know, you could probably answer that a few different ways, but there's only one way to answer the part about the picture now, and that it's the best probably that James Franklin's had. I mean, obviously, they had some good players and solid linebackers early in his tenure and sort of at the midway point, but just collectively across the board, I think the talent level that's there now is probably the best it's been since he got to Penn State. I mean, just you think of Parsons, of Dixon, of Smith, of Cam Brown, Jan Johnson, and serviceable in the middle. There's some other guys.
Jesse Lucada,
Ellis Brooks. I mean, you almost forget about them in a way because they're so talented, but these guys are darn good players, and they're capable of taking the next step and getting, getting Penn State in a position to thrive at the linebacker spot. And if you're not strong up the middle, you're probably not going to win too many football games. Penn State should be just fine up the middle here for the years to come.
That was something that we questioned going into 2018, but you started to see for a number of different reasons. I think Jan Johnson was a little better than I expected him to be. He's kind of like that shortstop who makes every routine play. Isn't going to make the diving catch or anything like that, but he makes every routine play. Cam Brown, I thought, was, you know, his physicality brought a little something different. Micah Parsons, obviously, the range and athleticism is kind of off the charts. And Koa Farmer was there. He did his job. It doesn't sound like a good thing, but
right.
You know, he was there. You didn't hear his name called for anything spectacular, but he played a valuable role. Ellis Brooks, you got the feeling towards the end of the year that they were liking what they were seeing more and more from him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the middle. But Brandon Smith, with that length, with that linebacker persona he has, is going to be a really interesting guy. In the backfield, obviously, with Miles Sanders leaving early for the NFL draft, you have Ricky Slade as the favorite to take on the lead role there. But I have questions about what the lead role is going to mean in this rendition of the backfield, because I don't know that you're going to consider dominating carries with one guy. I think you're going to have maybe a little bit more distribution, and you have two freshmen coming in, one Noah Kane from IMG Academy, a four-star, and one Devin Ford from Virginia, also a four-star, who are pretty different players. Both can make their claim to playing time.
Yeah.
One, I would say, with Noah Kane enrolling in January, also with him bringing more power than either of those two guys, can kind of have that change of pace, kind of have the complementary skill that would make the case. But do both of these guys play? Does one play? Who do you think? What do you think about that situation? And it's not, you know, Journey Brown and CJ Holmes are also there. You don't mean to look past those guys, but Kane and Ford are so talented. It's hard not to do that.
Yeah, it's hard too to sort of know how this backfield makeup is going to work. We've always had a clear successor, and it's not to say that Ricky Slade is not the clear successor to Miles Sanders, but there was an obvious veteran nature to Miles Sanders that sort of indicated pretty clearly that he was going to be the guy when Saquon Barkley moved on. Now it's not quite as obvious about how this will work. Is Ricky Slade ready to take on a role like Miles Sanders did, where he carried the majority of the snaps this season and was the guy? Are they going to use, you know, kind of like Penn State did back when it had Bill Belton, Zach Swinnack, and one other guy whose name escapes me at the moment, but you know, there was a point there where they remember Bill O'Brien would play the hot hand, and you always wondered if he was picking the right hot hand.
I know that was kind of the dog days of Penn State's program, but boy, you think about the options that James Franklin has in front of him versus the options that Bill O'Brien had in front of him, and it's pretty clear how far things have come from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, no question. So, I mean, I guess the main thing is for Penn State, they'll have to figure out, with Ricky Ronnie, of course, leading the charge, how they want this offense to look with either Sean Clifford or Trace McSorley, obviously, Sean Clifford or Tommy Stevens leading the way. And once they do that, then they'll have to decide how they want their backfield rotation to work. And Jaywon Seidel will have a role in that too. And is it going to be one guy, you know, if they're going to run, let's say, you know, if they're going to run the ball on average 25 times a game, how are they going to split those carries up? Is one guy going to get 20 and the other four mixture of the five? Or are they going to be a little bit more reserved and have one guy maybe carry 12 times, another eight, and then split it up from there? So it'll be fascinating to see what they decide to do with the extreme talent they have in this backfield. But you're right, both of those guys should be contributors in 2019.
And you've seen as they go through the recruiting process, the comparison to a team like Georgia with Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift, and Nick Chubb. And the ability to create a situation like that where you get multiple guys involved, I think that's where things are going. But there's a fine line between having the depth to be able to do that, mm-hmm. and having so much depth that number three guy doesn't, you know, feels like he's on the outside looking in, and that might not change. So it'll be an interesting time to figure that out. But if you're able to pull that off successfully, and I think that you can, guys who play the running back position know, and they've seen enough now that they don't need much more than 1 year of playing time to get their shot at the next level,
right,
and to be able to turn that into something. Alvin Kamara, there's a good example for you. Somebody who didn't really ever play that lead back role by choice. Now he's one of the biggest stars in the NFL. So your ability can shine through. You don't need 4 years. In fact, you want the opposite. You don't need 4 years of getting beat up on film to get that shot. You really just need a year. And at the running back position, you're likely to get it because you can play multiple guys.
Yeah, no question. And you don't necessarily have to go in the first or second rounds or the third or fourth round, too, to make an impact. Now, obviously, everyone can point to Tom Brady and say, well, that may be true for any position, but more so at running back. You go down and look, there's an average of, what, like 25 in that ballpark running backs taken a year. And some of the guys taken late in the draft have been as productive as some of the guys taken early. So, obviously, Saquon Barkley is an outlier one way, and he's the rare guy that goes early in the first round and is worth that kind of investment. But there's also guys at the other end of that spectrum who are able to, you know, maybe not get all the money up front or be the heralded running back pick of the draft and still have really successful NFL career and make a lot of money to do so.
How about Anthony Wigan coming in to a situation where the offensive tackle depth chart is just not loaded with options, and you know, his ability to maybe compete? I would expect to see him, I don't know, as a swing player, as somebody who, you know, it's hard to see him not being on the two deep as things stand right now.
Yeah, it makes sense in my mind. I agree. I mean, there's a couple of guys in this class that should, you know, slide into that two or three at worst deep right away. And maybe we're recency bias a little bit of in the way here, because we're, you know, obviously studying these guys much more closely right now and all that. But there's just simply no question that the talent level that Penn State's bringing in these days leads itself to putting these guys in projected roles to play, whether it's on special teams like Jesse Luketa, or whether it's in a pretty premier role like Micah Parsons or Ricky Slade or Jahan Dotson. So no question that you're going to hear more and more of those guys slide into that role.
One guy I think is interesting, you mentioned Jahan Dotson playing as a true freshman. John Dunmore, currently, I would say, the only wide receiver in the class. At 6'2", 6'3", 170 pounds, he is a wiry guy, but I'm not so sure that he can't play at roughly the same way. Like, if he's 185 pounds by the summer, and with his ability to make contested catches, which is something that I'm not sure a lot of the other guys who are on the current roster can do at that level, I'll be interested to see if he can make a run at it. It's not something that I expect, but with the kind of strange dynamic on Penn State's roster where a lot of those guys are sub 6 feet, mm-hmm. you know, they're below 6 feet tall. You have Justin Shorter, you have Daniel George. John Dunmore brings something a little different to the table, and I wonder if he stands out this summer, if he can make a run at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that caught me off guard about him in Florida was just how skinny he is. He's gonna have to put weight on.
Wiry.
Yeah,
he's,
I mean,
wiry.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He'll have to bulk up quickly for sure, but if he's able to do that, yeah, Dustin, I can certainly see him making some noise this year. Obviously, especially if Penn State doesn't add any grad transfer receivers, which would mean that it's going to be all young guys stepping up and filling out the wide receiver depth chart in 2019.
So two best athletes in the class, Lance Dixon, Adisa Isaac, you know, they're going to be interesting guys to watch. Lance Dixon could be a nightmare on special teams.
Yeah.
For other, you know, if that's the very least, and they have a little precedent for that last year with Jesse Luketa, who played almost exclusively on special teams. Tyler Rudolph is another guy, special teams or at safety. Lamont Wade coming back changes that dynamic a little bit at safety, but he's a talented guy who's physically ready to do it sooner than later. So we'll see what happens. We're going to stick with the recruiting theme a good bit here. Buy or sell. I'm going to pose some statements to Greg. He's going to buy or sell them. Come up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.